go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in
the book of Titus,
and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation, living by manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience. You see how powerful that is? That passage directly coincides with this one. You commend yourself to other people's conscience when you live fearlessly and when you live circumspectly. Because even when you think about the idea of living, and you think about the idea of denying the fear, but denying ungodly lust, and denying the manipulation of Scripture, you know, which is what he said in Corinthians. The Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men, in Philippians chapter 4. And what that means is your sweet reasonableness. Do you have a reason for how you live? Do you have a reason? Can you give an explanation of how you're living to somebody else? I don't participate in certain things. You maybe have heard on WAFR, the one preacher comes on here, he says, I just won't participate in your gay wedding. Because I believe that's an... And he went on, he says, that's an abomination. And I can't participate. And when you say it, you don't say it mean. What you say is you say it in a sweetly reasonable way. That's what moderation means. Let your moderation. It doesn't mean, oh, I drink a little. That's not moderation. That's new. That's this day and age of moderation. Everything's moderation. Hey, your sweet reasonable says, I'm not going to do that because it might stumble somebody. I'm not going to do that because I think you would think less of me if I did. You know, it's an amazing thing. You have a ministry. You're supposed to be shining forth the light of Christ. We're to show forth His praises to the world. And the Bible says here that we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Do you realize you cannot really commend yourself to somebody else's conscience if you're not behaving better than they are? You can't wash a dirty hand with a dirty hand. Okay? So if we're compromised, then that impedes our ministry. And the Bible says that we're supposed to let our moderation be known unto all men. Now, you know, of course, that it does say in this verse here as well that we should live in this present world. The word here is not cosmos, it's aeon or ion, which is the idea of age, in this present age. Now the suggestion, because it's leading into verse 13, is that there's another age. This is an age and there's going to be another one. We could talk about dispensations. The time they were in the garden, that was the age of innocence. And then after that they fell and it was the age of conscience. And that didn't go too well. You know, you got murder, you got multiple marriages, you got all kinds of stuff going on. And finally it got so wicked that the sons of God were intermarrying with the daughters of men and it was out of control. God said, I'm going to turn the plate over and wipe it clean. That was the age of conscience and it didn't work too well. After that, human government and on and on. What we're in right now is the age of grace. Aren't you glad you're in the age of grace? Do you know we could have been born anywhere? You could have been born back there when they had the Old Testament darkness in Israel, and you could have been one of the surrounding nations. So they weren't getting it going on, and you didn't have a chance. All you had was what you had, and it was not much. And so hell was populated. So every now and then God smacked the people. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? I think that's a pretty good smack. I mean, we're talking fire from heaven. That gets people's attention. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that God did that to give them an example of how He feels about this behavior and to show them vividly what will happen to those who are involved in it. Fire and brimstone. Weeping, gnashing of teeth. I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you my sweet reasonableness. I'm not God. I'm just going to tell you, I believe God is God, and I think He's got something there. Okay? And I'm going to go with Him. And so it doesn't matter what the world says. So when He says that we're supposed to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, we recognize this age is going to pass away. You deny worldly lusts. Now, worldly lusts is an interesting thing. It's lusts that are part of the world. That's what it's saying. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But this is the word worldly lust. It's the lusts that are of the world. You know, the Bible says there is a corruption that is in the world through lust. Most things can be traced back. You can be lusting for money, lusting for fleshly appetites to be fulfilled. You could be lusting for praise and approbation, status. anything, but that'll make you compromise. That's what the root of lust is. It'll make you compromise. It'll make you throw caution to the wind, and you will sell out. And you've only got one life. You can sell out for the flesh, or you can sell out for the Savior. If you sell out for the Savior, you will live, and your life will be counted blessed in God and used of God in the bringing of other people. The Bible says that there's another age coming. When you think about that, I want you to recognize where this word is used elsewhere. Matthew 12, the Bible says, whoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this age nor in the age to come. So this age is pretty serious. You've got to take care of this, making sure. And when it says blaspheming the Holy Spirit and speaking against the Holy Spirit, what he's saying is it's like cutting the rope off you're hanging by. Okay, the Holy Spirit's convicting you. The Holy Spirit's knocking on your door. The Holy Spirit is telling you that there's a virus out there and there's people worried because they're worried about death and you're kind of worried about death too. You're not ready to die. You're not ready to go see the Savior. And that's some good heads up because God loves you enough. You know, God loves America enough to give us a heads up. And so you've got this concern, and if you keep saying it's nothing, it'll go away, it's not a judgment of God, it is a judgment of God. You know what God's judgment is? They need a little flipping over at the table so they can wake up. That's God's judgment. It doesn't mean he's angry at you necessarily. It just means that the world is a mess. The baby's blood is polluting the ground across the world. You know, last year alone, there was like 60 to 70 million babies aborted in 1 year across the world. This whole world is getting inundated with this nonsense. You got homosexual marriage, and they're adopting children, and you've got transgenders teaching your children in libraries. They're having gay marches in the streets. We are talking about people celebrating the odious. So God just said, I'm going to put a pause on it. And people who are selling out to sports, selling out to entertainment, they can't meet anymore. They can't go do their stuff. They're having withdrawals right now. And while they're doing it, they're sitting back thinking, I need to think about who I am. What is going on? I don't even know how to do this. You may have heard about Pelosi. Oh, I don't know what I'd do without my ice cream. Really? We get one download from Washington, D.C. each month. One. Just one. They're watching me. Okay? I'm worried. Making me nervous. But I hope it's Pelosi. And if it isn't Pelosi, send her a note. There's no ice cream in hell. Okay? There's none. All right? There's just not. And so people who love and make lies, the Bible says they're going to be outside of heaven. So I'm on good ground here. The woman loves and makes lies. And we got to stop this nonsense before we enter into eternity if we're part of that. The Bible says in Matthew 13:39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of this age. And the reapers are the angels. He's explaining a parable. It says, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, again, hell, it says, so shall it be at the end of the age. There is another age coming. That's my point. It says that we're not supposed to be giving in to worldly lusts and ungodliness, but we're supposed to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Do you know what? You can pretty much take anything if you know there's an end point to the work. I saw a couple kids getting rocks out of the yard. They had these big old 5-gallon buckets, and the bucket was about half the size of the kids. Their parents probably said, go clean the rocks up, but they're putting them in there. And this one kid's just lugging that baby along. I remember doing work like that. Maybe you do too as a kid. And it was hard work. Sometimes it was a little more than you could do. You had to take some rocks out so you could move that thing. And what I'm saying is that if you know there's an end in sight, for instance, you guys go do that, and we'll take you to McDonald's after we're done. We'll get you guys some ice cream. Oh, I can do this. Sign me up. Listen, that's what God does to you now. You bear the heat of the day now, and eventually you get the presence of God. And the Bible says in the presence of God is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures, not one, pleasures forevermore. Do you realize? We have a great prospect, and the world has a terrible prospect. And so when he tells us we're supposed to understand that how we're living matters to this present world, he says we're supposed to live denying those things, but looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Clearly, deity. Clearly, Jesus is God. We're looking for the appearance of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's who he is. He's the great God. The Bible tells us that it is in him that we live and move and have our being. And he localized himself. He localized himself, and he came in the form of a man, in the form of a servant.
And for you and for me, we have hope. We have a blessed hope, an enviable hope, a hope that transcends everything earthly, everything mundane, everything ordinary, and it glistens and glitters for eternity. The Bible says that they had no hope. And the Bible says, I don't want you to be, in 1 Thessalonians 4, worried about people who've gone ahead and fallen asleep in the Lord. He says, we don't sorrow, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them that are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's our hope. We're looking for, we're hastening unto this great day, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have a great and a marvelous hope. And when you think about hope, don't forget that the Bible teaches so much about hope. The Bible says that it's a glorious hope. And the idea of glory, the Bible tells us that we beheld Jesus' glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He shone with it. It was all over him. Everything he did. The Bible says he went up into a mountain. He was transfigured. And the Bible says about our hope that when he comes, it's going to be a glorious appearing. A glorious appearing. Just like on that mountain. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8, it says, and then shall that wicked one be revealed. When? When his blessed hope. When he comes. When he comes back to earth. Not when he comes in the clouds for us, but when he comes with us. Okay? He brings us back with him. It says, then shall the wicked one be revealed while we're gone, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Listen. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The brightness of his coming. He's glorious. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then shall he reward every man according to his works. Don't you want some things to be rewarded for? I do. I do. Bible says further, it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That's called the kingdom of heaven. It's going to be on earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Bible says in Hebrews 9, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You know, full salvation has not been fully realized even in the believer yet. We groan in this body. We wait for the full redemption of the purchased possession. When he's paid for it, it's all paid for. But the fact is he's not picked it up yet. I hope he picks me up in the rapture. Don't y'all think that'd be good? Just go in the rapture. Let's do this. The Bible says that he once was offered to bear the sins of many. He took the punishment for your sin. He took it. You deserved it. Yeah, we're all sinners. We deserve it. And I can say it and smile. I mean, what's that all about? Oh, we're rascals. We're sinners. Why can I smile? Because Jesus paid it all. He paid for me. He paid for you. That's what makes sense of salvation. People who go out there and they try to meditate their way to peace. You can't do it. I'll tell you what, you clear your mind, you might get some demons along the way. That's what they want you to do in certain sectors. Clear your mind is what they mean by meditation. They're looking for spirit guides. But when we meditate upon the Word of God. And so what we understand is when we get quiet, we know and can smile about our sin having been forgiven. Not that we are sinners, but that it's been completely forgiven. And we can rest. The Bible says, strive ye to enter into his rest. Because that's the person who ceased from his own works is the one who's entered into his rest. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.